It's sad, you know, here we are into almost January. The fiscal year started in October, and our agencies still don't know exactly what the funding that they're going to receive. So this is certainly a priority, something that we have to get done as soon as possible.
Well, one thing that is being talked about, we've heard quite a bit about it in the media, is something that's being called the Cromnibus. This
yes.
would be some kind of strange. Now, as I understand it, it's going to be kind of a hybrid between an omnibus spending bill to fund government through next September, with the exception of Homeland Security, which would only get a continuing resolution to get it through the next 2 or 3 months to give you time to look at the president's executive action on immigration.
No, that's exactly right. Omnibus means that the majority of the bills are all. We have about 13 spending bills, and so what happens is all of those will be combined mm-hmm. and go forward, the exception being the Homeland Security, and as you mentioned, do that for a short period of time and then get into the next Congress and regroup and decide on the actual funding levels for Homeland Security.
Well, Cromnibus, of course, comes from the combination of CR, continuing resolution, and
yes.
omnibus.
And, no, you're exactly right, and I'm impressed. It took me 4 years to learn that up here. So,
these words come out all the time.
The important thing is again going ahead, getting the agencies the dollars that they need to, and so that we can continue to fund government as it should be.
Now, the president's executive action on immigration is, of course, very unpopular with Republicans. But what the president and his supporters are saying is, look, this is no different from actions taken by Reagan, by Bush, by other presidents. It's simply about keeping families together and not forcing children to be separated from their parents or parents from their children. What do you say about that?
Well, I disagree totally. The Reagan and Bush things that were done, those were done after Congress passed the bill. And then there was a loophole involved, and they did these in order to make the current law that was passed work better. The numbers were very, very small. The Washington Post here in Washington did an article not too long ago that said that this is something that's never been done before. The danger is it's not only about this president, it's about future presidents giving them this kind of authority or not questioning this kind of authority. If you can do this with immigration, then you can do it with lots of other things. And that's simply not the way that the Constitution designed things. We have a large check and balance procedure, and this actually thwarts that.
Okay, well, if it's different because other presidents were expanding on congressional action, then why doesn't Congress act, which is what the president is saying? He says just send him a bill.
No, he's saying send me a bill that I like, the bill that I want, and I'll be happy. But that's simply not how Congress works. The president certainly can roll his sleeves up and get down and visit with congressmen, visit with others, use the bully pulpit to try and get enacted what he wants. But at the end of the day, if he's frustrated, he simply doesn't get to get his pen out and sign, well, we're going to do it anyway.
Well, what is getting a vote on the floor this week? There's lots of things coming up, I understand.
Well, as you mentioned, the budget actions,
right,
which are very, very important. Also, the National Defense Authorization. This has passed the House of Representatives, and I believe we'll be voting on that in the next day or two in the Senate. This is the big funding bill, the big authorization bill for all of the armed services, making sure that our troops, people in harm's way, have the funding that they need.
Is there any controversy about getting that passed? Do you think that will go through okay?
Yes, sir. I think it will go through okay. There's always controversy between the House and the Senate.
Sure.
Both of them, you know, have little areas that they feel like they'd like to do a little different. But I think that the consensus is that it very much needs to get passed. Certainly, this is one of the most important things that we do with our military, and as a result, I believe it'll get through without any problem by the end of the week.
Another major concern that's occupied a lot of our attention as Americans for some time now, these allegations of police brutality in communities across America. Do you think that reforms are needed to improve accountability in law enforcement? And if so, what kind of reforms?
No, I think you always have to look at that. And, you know, being a policeman is such a difficult job. And so there's the line of you know, how do you enforce the law, and yet how do you make sure that in order to protect yourself, you're not using unnecessary violence? So this is something that, that is a constant. It's something that we continue to look at, and, you know, it's a serious problem in the sense of making sure that in effort to protect ourselves that we don't use unjust force.
A lot of people are concerned about the perceived militarization of police departments. Should police departments be continue to be allowed to buy surplus military vehicles like MRAPs and other equipment designed for military use?
Yeah, I'm concerned about that also, and it depends on the use of the particular items. I think there are times when you have the SWAT team mentality when you're for fairly minor crimes when you show up in full garb in that regard. Some of the military equipment that's being purchased is, they can get it very, very cheaply, and then they use it on icy roads and things like that. But I don't like the idea of the, significant militarization in the sense that I think at times that actually incites people. So, again, it's just one of those things that you constantly have to look at is, where's the line? You know, where is the appropriate use of force? And it kind of all goes together.
There's a lot of talk about equipping all police with body cameras. Is that something that the federal government would be involved in, and is that something you think is a good idea?
Well, the president's talked about that and proposed that idea. I think that it probably is a good idea. Not only does it protect the individual, but it also protects the policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing that going more and more. Various police forces throughout the country are using that more and more. I think as they've done it, that it has been a positive thing. So it's just another thing that we need to look at. But I would think that, again, not only would it protect the individual, but also the police officer.
Exactly. Another controversy coming up today, I believe, the Senate Intelligence Committee is set to release a report this morning, I think, on CIA interrogation techniques. This has caused some concern that the report will incite violence, and even Secretary of State Kerry has expressed concern about the timing of this release.
Yeah, I'm very, very concerned about it. And it's not the Intelligence Committee. It's the Democratic side of the Intelligence Committee. This is a very partisan report that was done exclusively by Democrats. There's real questioning about the methodology. But, when you have a situation where, as a result of the release, they're putting out alerts all over the world to our embassies and things, I don't see how this is helpful at all.
Well, this report apparently details some horrific things that were allegedly done to glean information from suspected terrorists. It doesn't seem to be that big a secret that our intelligence forces did use some techniques that we don't really like to talk about. So why would this report incite more violence, since most people are pretty well aware that some of these things happened?
Well, I think you just have to look at the people that we're dealing with, and certainly in some of the Muslim countries, they're going to use every method that they can to incite violence, and this would be a good tool. We also have to remember that right after 9/11, this was a different time. We were certainly very concerned about future attacks, and all of this was written off by a very bipartisan group in the intelligence committees and things in Congress and in the administration, and Republicans and Democrats together felt like the techniques that were used were the direction to go at that time.
Of course, the questions brought up by the report seem to involve whether these enhanced interrogation techniques, as they were called, were actually effective or whether they could have actually been counterproductive. We like to think of ourselves as the good guys in the white hats, but should we be using methods that are, for lack of a better word, barbaric?
No, I'm very much not in favor of torture, things like that. So, again, we've talked a lot today about all of the different things where you have to be effective, certainly when the potential for American lives are on the line, then you want to do all you can do. On the other hand, you have to draw the line as to when it gets beyond, as you say, you know, the guys in the white hats. Where is that line at? And these are difficult things, especially dealing in the aftermath of a situation like 9/11, where you really are very, very concerned about Americans getting hit, not only in this country, but all around the world.
Yeah. And speaking of difficult decisions, another thing that's happened recently on the subject of top-secret operations, we had an attempted rescue of an American journalist being held hostage by al-Qaeda forces in Yemen. The mission went bad, and the American was killed, along with a South African teacher who was being held in the same location. Just a horrible situation, but it's led to questions about whether such rescue operations are worth the risk. It's a tough call for any president to make.
Yes, sir, it is, and this was a real tragedy. And yet, our special ops do a great job and at tremendous risk to themselves. And, many times are successful. But when you're dealing in that sort of situation, I think you have to weigh, the pros and the cons. There was great concern that this person was going to be executed, very shortly. So that's why they jumped in and did the risk. But certainly the way it turned out was not a good situation and is a real tragedy for the families involved.
According to an AP story yesterday, a U.S. military official in Iraq says the so-called Islamic State is now on the defensive in Iraq. U.S. military advisors are working to rebuild the Iraqi army, continue the fight. Is this a diminishing threat from what you're able to understand?
Well, we hear these things, and yet it seems like in a matter of days or weeks, then they have a new offensive. Mm-hmm. This is just going to be a recurrent thing. And the good news is that the Iraqis, I think, understand the seriousness of the problem, not just the Shias, but the Sunnis also, all of the different elements, the Kurds in the country, and to some extent are unified in their fight against ISIS and realize the threat that they are. So I think that things are, there's some good things happening. But I think we have to be very, very careful about assuming that ISIS is on the run tremendously.
Of course, in the same region, the Syrian civil war is still going on, creating a huge humanitarian crisis there, and resources are waning for that.
Yeah, it's really difficult because allies like Jordan, have been such a good ally, and Turkey also. The Jordanians have accepted, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, probably over a million refugees. Mm-hmm. They have limited resources. They have limited water. You don't think about things like that. But, yes, it really is taxing the system, and you worry about it, taxing it to the point that it can make it vulnerable for a country like Jordan with civil unrest being created even more.
Just about 30 seconds left. We're entering a season now where we're focusing on joy and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. A lot of bad things going on in the world, but this is a season to hopefully kind of refocus ourselves.
Well, you're exactly right. And we talk about all of these difficult things going on, and yet we're so blessed as a nation. We're the greatest, freest nation the world has ever known. And this very special time of family and we just got through with Thanksgiving, another very special time where we really focus on all that we've got to be grateful for, and now the religious connotation of what's coming up in the next week or two. So a time of being with friends and family, and then also we do need to remember the people overseas, our troops, our people in the State Department, all of those that are working hard to keep us free and protect us. Certainly, it's hard when mom or dad is gone for during those periods of time.
Absolutely, need to remember those folks and help out the families here as much as we can.
Very much so,
Senator John Bozeman. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you as always for having me.